Being a Christian does not exempt us from being discouraged. If you go through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, Abraham was discouraged. Joseph was discouraged. Moses was discouraged. Steve mentioned Jeremiah. He was discouraged. And discouragement comes in many different forms and many different shapes. And we have to deal with discouragement. And yes, even Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Savior, he faced discouragement. Can you imagine you just fed 5,000 people with bread and fish out of a few baskets, and the next day all the people cared about was getting fed again? Wouldn't that discourage you? It would discourage me. I was like, wow, what? Did they just see what I just did? So discouragement is something we all have to face. And we have to be careful with discouragement, because we have a very, very clever adversary called Satan. And he will use that to pull us away. I've seen men of Christ, I'm talking about Church of Christ preachers, who let some things get in their lives that discourage them, and now they're out there. They don't even believe in God anymore. Something I would never think in a million years would happen to these men. And that kind of woke me up, and that's going to encourage me to do this study when I was back in New York City on discouragement, because that was a shocker. Just to see people who are so well-grounded in Christ just turn around and walk away from the faith. And I'm not talking about somebody who was in the faith maybe 5 or 6 years. I'm talking about somebody in the faith 30 years. And sometimes another guy that left the faith 25 years. And all through discouragement, it's an evil thing if we let it bring us down. Like I said, it takes many forms, but I'm going to give you 6 quick points here in dealing with discouragement. The first one, always, is keep your mind on a better world to come. In 1 Peter 1:13, we read, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the end, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3:2-4, we read, set your mind on the things above, not things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Those are encouraging words. Yes, discouragement comes in many forms. I know people who are discouraged, you know, their husband or their wives are not believers, and, you know, they struggle with that. I talked to some brethren. He says, you know, I wish my wife would just accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they get so discouraged and so brought down. Say, hey, you know, you just don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Look at the big picture and have your faith in God. Or situations are horrible, you know. They lost a job, you know. I got a little discouraged. I lost a job, and all the jobs that kept coming my way were jobs that were actually taking me away from God, you know. Somebody wanted to be, you know, a general manager for a liquor company, you know. Not a good move for a Christian, you know, to be out there dealing with liquor and spirits. Not a good thing. So I was discouraged for a while, but, you know, I put my hope in God, and I prayed and just continued to pray. And we have to look at the big picture. What is the end game? And the end game is heaven and glory with God Almighty. That is a beautiful thing to think about. And believe me, point 2 is strive to bear up under trials and hardships. When I was in Upper West Manhattan, I met some people from Rwanda. These people actually watched their families get lined up and shot dead. And yet they had so much courage and so much faith in God. I was embarrassed. I was so embarrassed that I'm here, you know, bickering over such little things and, you know, oh, woe's me. And I'm like, wow, look at these people. They have so much joy in the Lord. They have so much faith in God. They have so much faith in prayer. And yet they witnessed these horrible atrocities. I mean, let's face it, we have it easy here. Thank God we don't face things like that. I thank God I was born and raised in this country. That's a horrible thing to see. And that's something that etches in their minds forever. So remember, consider the thought expressed in 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Job 14:1 says, a man who is born a woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Yeah, we're going to face problems in life. This life is not easy. Yeah, we have family members that die. I remember my brother died. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I've lost two brothers. I lost one brother to cancer, and I lost one brother to cirrhosis of the liver because he was a super, you know, he just kept drinking. He was an alcoholic. I deal with my mom in New York. I'm going up there next month. He has dementia, and it's progressing. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But we have to just put our trust in God that he will work these things out and put our faith in Jesus Christ. The third point is continuing the faith no matter what life may bring. Right? Life is full of surprises. You know, I had a friend, you know, up there in New York, and, you know, I just finished talking to him and, you know, hung up and, you know, say goodbye. And the next thing you know, he died. He died. He went outside and he got hit by a truck, a runaway truck. He was killed instantly. I don't know if you guys remember Charles II. You know, I talked to him like 10 minutes, you know, before he passed away. We had a great conversation. I was in Barbados, and he was joking about Barbados with me. And then the next thing you know, I see an email from Steve that Charles II passed away. I said, this has got to be a mistake. And I remember I called Steve. I FaceTimed Steve from Barbados to him. You know, those are things that could happen in life. A loved one, our spouse. But this life isn't the end-all, be-all. That's one of the things we have to wake up to. In 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So our faith gives us strength. I sometimes wish I could be more like those brethren in Rwanda. Even, you know, Sunday, Brother Sunday there in Nigeria, what they go through, you know, the churches get attacked. They burn down churches. They attack people who are Christian. And yet their faith does not falter. These men and women are strong in their faith. Matthew 14:28, Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come and to come to you and walk on the water. This is Peter. He had a little faith, but watch what happens. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why do you doubt? That could describe me sometimes. I get into, you know, conundrums and I go, oh, woe's me. And, you know, I lose control and, you know, despair. And, you know, you have a mini hissy fit and all these things happen. You can ask my wife. She testifies to that. And then I have to calm down. I have to say, oh, dear, Lord, forgive me. You know, I just spat in God's face. I just spat in Jesus' face. I just said, they can't help me. And that's what we do when we doubt, when we lack that faith, when we face discouragement and we let it overtake us. We're basically saying God is out of the picture. And he's not. He's a loving God. Continue your faith no matter what life may bring. But always look to Jesus. That's part four. Always look to Jesus. Jesus is our example in all things. Yes, Jesus faced discouragement, and he just trotted on. He just kept going forward. And that's how we have to do. You know, there's a saying, when life gives you lemons, you know, make a lemonade. I've heard that a million times. But when life gives you problems, you go to Christ. You go to God. That should be our first reaction to any situation, no matter what, how big, how small, is to turn around and go to God. It should be automatic, automatic. Problem comes up, you get on your knees and pray to God. And sometimes if we get too discouraged, you know, we'll let that sail over our heads and we'll forget. I know I've had that happen to me in the past. I just totally forget, oh, you know, my brother died, and oh, and again, I start, you know, just moaning, groaning, and then I just have to slow myself down and just get on my knees and pray to God, and pray to God to help my brother's family, his wife, his children, pick up the phone, call them, reach out to them, and stop moaning and groaning. Jesus is the ultimate example. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. While you think you've had a bad day, you think you've had it tough? What about Jesus? Stepped down from the glories of heaven to walk as a man for 33 years. And what does he get for it? After preaching the gospel, after showing all these wonderful miracles, he gets murdered. He gets mocked, humiliated, and murdered. And even at the end, before he gave up his soul, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. I'd be honest, if that were me, wow. If that were me and I were able to call down 10 legions of angels, those guys would have been toast a long time ago. I'm being perfectly honest. Jesus had a patience that's and a love that's incredible. That should be a good picture for us to look to when we're feeling discouraged. And yes, things happen that could really knock us for a loop. Look what's happening in California. You know, we have brethren out there. I visited the churches out there in the past. We have brethren out there, and they're probably wiped out. They have nothing left. Their houses are all burned down to the ground. Talk about despairing, right? You just come home and all you have is ashes and smoldering fires where your house and all your property used to be. But I know those brethren. I know they're strong in the Lord. They're very strong. And I know they're all there praying. And I know they're all there gathering together and helping each other. That much I'm 100% confident that they are doing. 2 John 1:9. Next thing we can do is continue to hold to the truth at all cost. You can have victory through your faith. 1 John 5:4. Well, this is Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We also read in 2 John 1:9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. And the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And John 8:31, so Jesus is saying to those Jews who have believed him, if you continue in my word, then truly you are disciples of mine. Always look to Jesus. And always, the next point is to turn to the Bible for strength and comfort. Always. There's so many passages in the Bible that could really encourage us and give us strength. One of them that comes to mind is Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Those are encouraging words. This is the God we worship. This is the God who loves us. This is the God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. So why worry? Why be discouraged? We could come out of discouragement. There are wonderful Psalms too that you could read that encourage our hearts and our minds. The next thing we do is we pray, right? We pray to God. We take all our problems to him. Sometimes we just fail to do that because we think, you know, oh, this problem, God doesn't care about this. No, that's not a big enough problem for God. No, take everything to God in prayer. I don't care what it is. You know, sometimes I'm driving, I can't find a place to park. I pray, Lord, help me find somewhere to park this car. Anywhere I go, Lord, let me have a safe trip. Let me go here, see these accounts, these customers, or I'm going to a dangerous site. Lord, be with me, Heavenly Father, so I could get in there and come back home to my family. And when I get home and pull up to my garage and pull to my driveway, I stop. I make this a habit. I stop and I give thanks to the Lord. I say, Lord, thank you. I made it back home by your grace and by your love. I am home. Thank you, Lord. How many people leave to go to work and never come back? Thousands, believe it or not, in this country. That happens every day to thousands of people. So no, we can overcome discouragement with prayer. Jesus prayed, right? Let's turn to Matthew 14:23. You know, Jesus gives us the perfect example of how to overcome discouragement. He is the role model that we must follow. Paul gives great examples, but I look to Jesus. He gives a great example. Here's our Lord and Savior. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. So Christ prayed. He took the time to pray. Prayer is a powerful tool to overcome discouragement. In Luke 5:16, again, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. In Luke 6:12, it was at that time he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. The whole night. He prayed the whole night. I talked to some people and asked them, you know, it doesn't matter. But for me, if I pray, I like to really get into it. Sometimes I get lost in it. It's good to talk to God. There's power in prayer. Sometimes we pray because we just want these problems to just disappear. We're discouraged. You got this problem. We want to pray. I say, you know, it's got to disappear. I know another brother in Christ who I prayed for. His mother was dying of cancer, and, you know, he was really discouraged, very, very down. And, you know, I tell him, look, let's pray. Whatever is God's will, it's going to happen. It's got to be God's will. We don't tell God what to do. When we pray, we're making a request. It's up to God to say yes or no. That's one thing we always have to remember. So his mother unfortunately died, and he left the faith. Couldn't believe that. He left the faith because of that. He felt God let him down. I tell him, yeah, I've had family members die, and I pray for them. I had family members die. That didn't discourage me. Why am I going to leave the faith because of that? God's not a genie. You know, you don't rub your magic Bible and make 3 wishes. It doesn't work that way. It's still up to God to show mercy, to show his providence. It's up to him. It's up to him. And I'm afraid, you know, if we get so discouraged that we, you know, stop praying and stop communicating with God, that's perfect time for Satan to just throw his lasso around you and just start pulling you and pulling you, pulling you further away from the Lord. And I've seen, like I said, I've seen so many people fall. And I'm surprised at the people who fell, because I've always thought these were strong Christians. And you remember when Christ was in Gethsemane, Matthew 26? Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Here was he's praying. And he took with him Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee began to be grieved and distressed. So, yeah, Christ was grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but you will." And that's sometimes what we forget. We forget that part where Christ says, "Not as I will, but you will." Because it's ultimately up to God to remove the obstacle. I mean, God could do whatever he wants. He could just, you know, a snap of a finger, remove a problem from our lives. But what do we learn if I pray for everything and it just came, it just happened? You know, I think we'll think God's like a, what's the term used out there? A sugar daddy or something, right? He gives us everything we want. "God, I just want, you know, a new job." Boom, a new job. "Oh, I need a new house." "Oh, a new house." "Oh, God, Lord, you know, I need new clothes." And new clothes just appears. Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. God is not a genie. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to talk to him. And that's part of our growth as Christians. We have to come to God, especially when we're discouraged. That's the first action we should do. Luke 18:1. He said he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. So that's what we're supposed to do. This is Christ commanding. We should pray at every given chance. Every chance. You feel discouraged? Turn to the Lord in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." People tell me, "Oh, how do you pray without ceasing?" Yes, you can pray without ceasing. Well, you're traveling. If I have a long road trip, you know, I used to cover the whole state of Texas, talk about driving a lot of times. But, yeah, if I have 2 or 3 hours, I will pray. That's a good time to pray and cover a lot of you know, subject matter with the Lord. You could pray. You could pray where you're flying. You could pray while you're laying down in bed. You could pray, you know, while you're working. Take some time off. Take 10, 20 minutes off on your lunch break and pray. Pray to the Lord. There is power in prayer. It brings peace to our hearts. And it shows us that we have confidence in God. And I believe God wants us to do that. I believe God wants us to go to him whenever we have any problem. And not to feel discouraged or despair, but the first reaction should always be to go to the Lord. James 5:16, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Let that sink in. Man or woman. Man or woman can accomplish much. This is Jehovah we're talking to. This is the God who created the world with his mere words. And sometimes we just put him in a little shoebox. But God is big. He's the creator of the universe. He pales. He makes the universe pale in comparison next to him. This is an awesome person we're praying to. This is an awesome being. This is the creator of heaven and earth. The man who created our bodies, who designed man in his image. Shame of us sometimes when we're discouraged and we start despairing instead of turning to God. There's power. In 1 Peter 3:11-12, "He must turn away from evil and do good. And he must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears attend to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So God, if you're righteous, if you're doing right, if you're trying to live the Christian life, if you're following Christ, he's going to attend. He's going to attend to our prayers. He listens. And I tell you what, I believe God even listens to people who haven't accepted Christ yet and who pray to him. He listens. May not give them the answer they want, but he listens. He's omniscient. He knows all, sees all. can do all. This is who we worship. This is who we one day will see face to face if we stay faithful in our walk in Christ. So, still some open questions here now. What negative effects can discouragement have in a person? Can anyone tell me? No one. That's right. Give up. Stop going to church. Stop preaching, right? Like that preacher. Affects the people around you. That's correct. If you're walking around moping, you know, all the time, right? You're right. And sometimes we get discouraged when we see a preacher fall, right? When we see hypocrisy, yeah, that can be discouraging. But we always have to focus on God and Jesus Christ, right? That's the end game. Remember, Christ said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. So we have to remember that. Yet, some people will apostatize and fall away. Isn't that what the world we live in? Instant gratification. I could order something on Amazon, get it the same day. I've gotten some stuff the same day or get it in 2 days. Everything's fast, fast, fast now, right? So we think God operates like the world, but God operates on his own time frame, right? He is Jehovah. He does when he wants. And that's it. You know, we make all our petitions to the Lord, but I can't push God to do something he does not want to do at this moment. It is solely up to the Lord when I pray to say yes or no. Or maybe he'll just say, the time's not right.
We need to realize, Alex, too, when he doesn't, we need to be thankful sometimes he doesn't answer for what we're asking for. He knows best. That's what we need to be thankful. We bring this to him, but always with the realization that he knows best and he's going to do what's best.
And you know what? I believe God sometimes gives people stuff and they say, all right, you really want this? You got it. And when a person gets it, they go, oh boy, what did I get myself into? And God says, hey, I was trying to tell you no, but you push me, there you go. I've seen that happen to some people. Actual people. And sometimes, you know, I know some really good Christian men that died, you know, diseases, I had a good, real good brother, good soldier in Christ, Miguel Rosario, up there in Upper West Manhattan. A few members in the Texas area know him because they've done some trips with him in South America. And this brother was really strong in the Lord. And he was always praying for his wife. Unfortunately, his wife, you know, never came to the Lord. Never came to the Lord. Still now, you know, I reach out to her. She'll say, you know, hello once in a while if she feels like picking up the phone. But, he was a good soldier, so that's what happens in life. But he never gave up his faith in God. And he never gave up faith that one day, you know, his wife will come to the Lord. He never gave up. To his dying day, he never gave up. He said, when I'm going to pray for my wife, you know, pray for my daughter, pray for my wife. And we do. We do.
But God is patient with them. God's been patient with us. Every day is giving us an opportunity. And we can, you know, hear stories of people who have gone so long without coming to the faith. And then they have their come to sense, come to the realization moment. And those stories, I mean, they're all over in the Bible. People coming to their senses and coming out of At one moment they were ready to have Jesus crucified, and then the next moment they were wanting to be saved and have faith in Jesus. So, yeah, the discouraging that we could commonly deal with is thin friends and family who are, not being obedient. But we have stories that happen today. We have stories that happen in the Bible of if we remain persistent and God permits time to go on, there's always hope.
Amen. You know, I have a sister that I pray for all the time, and she's a Santeria priestess. Santeria is like a form of voodoo, and she's really big into this occult religion, and it just breaks my heart seeing her into this thing. And, you know, her life is miserable. It really is. And they don't realize how satanic this cult is, this religion. It's basically just a form of voodoo where they take African gods and give them saints' names. It's outrageous. It's demonic. It's evil. But I pray for my sister. I pray for her every day. You know, my other sister, she's quote-unquote Christian. You know, she goes to a non-denominational church, but I'll talk. That's a different story. But she prays for her, too. And that's all we could do. I try to talk to her about the gospel. She says, I know the Bible better than you. And I said, well, what is Galatians? What's the gist of Galatians? I don't have to read it. I just understand it better than you. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. But that's the things we have to deal with. You know, and not just her. I have another aunt who's into that nonsense, too. And it's heartbreaking. Who wants to see their family members burn in hell? Who wants that? But sometimes family could be the biggest discouragement if we let it. They could be the biggest discouragement because it's your flesh and blood, right? And it hurts sometimes, but I just move forward, get up, and I just pray to God. Just keep praying. Because I know one thing Satan wants me to do is stop praying for them. And when you stop praying for them, Satan is won. And that's really true discouragement right there. We have to always go to the Lord in prayer. Why should thinking of the world to come alleviate a Christian's discouragement? Why should thinking of the world to come alleviate the Christian's discouragement? Amen. We're looking at eternity, right? No more problems, no more pain, no more tears. We're looking at eternity. Our bodies become, immortal, right? We'll put on these corrupt bodies will be gone, and we'll put on incorruptible bodies. Raised in glory. Wow. Sometimes I try to imagine what it would be like. And it's just my feeble mind can't comprehend that. But that's a big, big, big encouragement, isn't it? Just to think of to be with God for all eternity. All these problems are minuscule in comparison when you look at the timeline of eternity. Can you imagine being with God 10 million years and God willing for all there? Look back and say, wow, I remember we were in that humble church of Christ, 10 million years ago. It's been 10 million years. Can you imagine that? Doesn't that fill, I think that fills me with joy just to think about that. To see brethren I've lost, good Christian soldiers I lost, to see them again. I always wanted to talk to, to Jeremiah. May I get that chance to do those things? I talk to Moses. I mean, those are things we look forward to. Most importantly, talk to Jesus. Talk to our Father in heaven. Wow. That should encourage us, right? From discouragement. Just thinking about how glorious that's going to be. Yeah, my imagination is not that powerful. I mean, it's immense. Think of the glory of God. Think of that beauty. And you never age, never die. That's true encouragement right there. Looking to God should motivate us. Motivate us to be better Christians, right? Because we want to be there. Motivate us to be better servants in Christ. To treat our husbands and our wives with honor and love. Children, our employers, the people we meet. We should shine God's glory, right? We are Christians. We should have a joy that passes understanding. And I've seen people like Miguel Rosario in his deathbed, and he still exuded joy for Christ. I hope one day if I'm dying that I'm like that man, like a good Christian soldier there, just full of joy for the Lord. Just looking to heaven, looking to God's glory. That should fill us with such encouragement, so much hope and joy at the same time. What is to be the attitude the believer has towards trials and hardships? And gold is refined in fire, right? I talked to metallurgists. They said you have to heat up that gold really, really, really hot to remove all the impurities. So gold is refined in fire. So when we go through these trials and hardships, think of it as growing pains to learn, to build our faith in God, to draw closer to God and Jesus. And maybe share what your experience. You know, I talk to people who've been discouraged, and hey, I walked that walk. Yes, I've had a brother die of cancer. Yes, I've had a brother die of alcoholism. You know, if I said someone in my job tell me, oh, you know, my brother died of liver disease, from drinking too much, and I go talk to them. I could relate to them, right? Because you've been through it. Sometimes God equips us. We don't know why these things happen, but sometimes they're to help somebody else. We don't know God's mind. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. You know, like Craig said, maybe, God sees ahead. I believe sometimes, too, God takes brethren out of this world. And he says, they're ready. They're ready. Maybe he sees down the line. They may drop off. He says, I'm going to snatch this one now. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing. I can't guess God's mind. But I believe sometimes that happens. I believe God knows when someone's ready and it's just, that's it. He yanks them out. Takes them home, so to say. How can faith give us victory over discouragement? Anyone? Amen. Rocky, you have something to say? So faith, right? Faith that overcomes the world. Look at Daniel, right? In the lion's den. He had faith in God. And he went into the lion's den. He didn't go kicking and screaming, I'm sure. But he stood there. And he had faith God would deliver him. And God did deliver him. Imagine the faith those brethren in Africa had when they just saw their whole family lined up by the Hutsis or Tutsi, whatever they call themselves, and just get machine gunned down. Talk about faith. And these brethren, they're hardcore Christians. They have a faith in God that's unwavering. No matter what the situation, their faith does not waver. I believe they were strengthened by those what happened to them. That is really discouraging right there. To watch your whole family killed in front of your very eyes, how much more discouraging can that be? You know, here I see some people in my job complaining. I said, what's wrong? Oh, I wanted to get my wife, you know, a blue Porsche, but I ended up getting a white one because that's all they had. I said, oh, poor thing. You poor thing. Oh, my goodness. You had to settle for a white Porsche. Oh, you poor thing. I mean, really, we have it so easy here. We just don't know how hard it really is out there. To our brethren in Brazil, to our brethren in all these third world countries, it's a day-to-day survival for them. And their faith is what keeps them going, that keeps them courage to move forward. What aspects of Jesus' example can help one rise above discouragement? What aspects of Jesus' example can help one rise above discouragement?
So that he could get to the right hand of God, execute God's plan to save sinners from their sin. That's us.
And he went, I mean, he just went. He didn't go kicking and screaming. You know, remember he told one of the apostles, you know, if I want to, I could call 10 legions of angels down. He could have. He had every right to do so, but he had to follow through on his Father's plan, right? There was a plan in place for our salvation. And Jesus saw it through. He saw it through all the way. And he faced discouragement. I mean, the apostles. I mean, when Christ first appeared, he appeared to the ladies. They believed. When he appeared to the apostles, they didn't believe. And he reprimanded. He gave them some strong words for that. So, Christ is the perfect example, like I said. His example of prayer. His example of knowing that whatever happens, it's God's will. He says, it's your will, not mine, Lord. You know, we like to pray, you know, really, Lord, it's your will, but really, this is really what I want. If we're honest with ourselves. But if we're really courageous, we'll pray and let God do his work. And like I said, sometimes the answer is, no, I know better. I know what's good for you, my son, my daughter, my child. I know what's good for you. Well, I'm going to say no to this prayer. Or, you know, this person's time is up, unfortunately. That's how it is. You know, I prayed for my brother with his cancer not to die, but it happened. He still passed away. And he wasn't a Christian, so that breaks my heart. You know, I wept. I'd be quite honest. I wept. I fell down and, you know, it breaks my heart to see people that I love die without knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It really, really hurts. But I don't get discouraged. I turn to God and I just keep praying. And, you know, I say, Lord, give me opportunity to reach those who still don't know about you. And I will share my faith. What comfort can the believer find in the truth of Scriptures which will help him deal with discouragement? Amen. We're not going to stay like this, right? We don't want to be, these bodies decay. We're all decaying, whether, you know, you're 60 years old or you're 20 years old. Hey, every day your body's decaying. Eventually, you hit that point, you know, if you have long life genes, like my mother's side of the family, they all die. They seem to all die between 95 and 99. You know, on my father's side, they all seem to die between 79 and 83. So they got the strong genes on my mother's side there. But it doesn't matter if you live 105 years. If you live 105 years and die without Jesus, what good is it? It means nothing at all. It's meaningless. But if you have Christ and you die at 30, 33, it doesn't matter. You have Christ, you go up to glory. You go to paradise and you'll be in God's kingdom. Another thing you could look at is look at some of the heroes in the Bible. Look at Job and what he went through. You know, in the beginning, he despaired. He got discouraged, right? He let his friends discourage him, but he turned around and God restored him, right? When he got to his right mind, and when God asked him, hey, I'm going to talk to you now, Job. You tell me, were you there when I put the stars up and when I created the morning glory? All these things, and Job was a humma 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 humma, right? He put him in his right place. Look at Jeremiah. Wow. The weeping prophet, what he went through, thrown down in the cistern. And the man just kept going forward, doing the Lord's work. He just kept going forward. That's an encouragement. I don't know how, if I could be as strong as Jeremiah. I mean, being thrown down in a cistern, getting beat up, getting stripped naked. You know, your very own people, you know, just verbally abusing you. You bring the scrolls, you write some things that the Word of God inspired to you, and the king takes it and just burns it. You know, what was the king's name? I call him the Bible burner, but that's a different lesson. But those are the things that we can use to fight discouragement. Don't be discouraged. Don't be. Life happens. It does. We just don't know. Life happens. You know, the same things that we go through, people who don't know Christ go through it too. But I think we go through it much better because we have the anchor, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for your attention this evening. And I hope I inspire some of you to study more of God's Word. And if you're discouraged, turn to the Lord in prayer. Turn to God's Word.